Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Marvel Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the Marvel Universe.
Excelsior to you, our Merry Marvel Marching Society. That's our name now. That's our name. Deal with it, Cook. That's what they voted. That's what the fans voted on. That's our name. We're the Triple MS. That's who we are. Hashtag Triple MS. Anyway, welcome back to our third show of the year, 2015.
And that's our 16th show total, if you're keeping count.
If you're keeping score at home. We are the Marvel Movie News, where we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News. Find us through the Popcorn Talk Network. You can also visit us on their YouTube page, Popcorn Talk Network, over on YouTube, or their website, popcorntalknetwork.com. So I'm Matt Key, at The Matt Key.
I'm Meredith Placco, at M Placco.
Matt Cook, at Matt Cook Tweeted.
And we've got a very special guest with us today, Master Alan Sizzler Kisler.
Hello.
Sir, hello. Hello. Why don't you tell us a little bit of... Well, first of all, what's your Twitter?
At Sizzler Kistler.
It's a good name.
I think it works. Sizzler got on me in high school, and it just stuck with it. So
you look like a Sizzler.
You know, that's what people think.
I was going to ask if you really like their surf and turf special.
I have never been to the restaurant Sizzler.
I hear there's a good one in Koreatown.
But Anthony Bennigan,
Bourdain's that's the only one left.
Really?
The only one dropping like blockbusters.
That's right next to a Hollywood Video, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there just one part of Koreatown where all chains go to die?
Yeah. It's like the Elephant Graveyard, but for franchises.
Is that what Night Vale is?
Yes. Why don't you tell us about... I know that you are an author of a New York Times best-selling Doctor Who book, History.
Yes, Doctor Who History.
Yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? You have 1 minute. Go.
Okay, so I've basically been writing in geek journalism stuff for about 7 years now for sites like Comic Book Resources, Newsarama, The Mary Sue... Comics Alliance, Comic Mix, MTV, Splash Page, when that was still a thing.
You could say that all with a shorter answer by saying you're living my dream.
There you go.
I'm living Matt Key's dream. Just living.
You might want to aim higher. I'm going to tell you right now. I've been recognized as a comic book historian, and I show up sometimes on a bunch of DVD features for DC Comics movies like Batman and Son and Justice League New Frontier.
Oh, man, I've never heard of any of these guys.
New Frontier is like my favorite.
It's delightful. So delightful story.
I'm afraid I'm only familiar with Marvel when we're on this show.
I understand. And I'm a geek consultant on many different topics for different projects.
No, that's my dream job. I just want to be
right?
A geek
How
consultant.
Cool is that? Yeah. That's the dream job, I think.
So can I ask you, I mean, you've written a book about Doctor Who.
Yeah.
But let's keep it to the Marvel world.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite character?
In Marvel... my childhood favorite that really entered me into the Marvel Universe was Spider-Man, gotta say.
That's yours, right, Cook?
Yeah.
Like, Spider-Man is such a beautifully versatile character. You can put him in any genre. You can go way dark with him, like Kraven's Last Hunt, or, when his parents were seemingly back and then it was just the chameleon messing with him. Like, that story got dark. Or you can go happy-go-lucky and have him fight the Legion of Losers. And the kangaroo.
Yeah.
You can put him in any situation and he can work. And I think that is absolutely brilliant. And you never really have to update his origin that much. You have to update the science of what the spider is. But the rest of it stays. He wanted to make money. He got arrogant. His uncle dies. Bam.
Yeah.
And I think that's absolutely beautiful. Other than that, after that it gets into different weird characters. I have an obscene love for the Blazing Skull from the 1940s. Because I'm just like, dude, it's Ghost Rider, but with a sense of humor.
That's awesome.
Immediately throws me into a tizzy. I freaking love that. I love the Vision. I love Machine Man. I'm all over the place. Like, I really dig the weirder characters.
That's awesome. Yeah, Who's your least favorite character?
If you say Doctor Strange, I have to
No. Okay. I dig Doctor Strange. And if you put the right guy on Doctor Strange, like Mark Waid or Warren Ellis, holy crap, you have a great comic.
Yeah.
But the Wizard sucks. All right. There are so many speedsters.
You mean from the Golden Age?
Yeah. With the yellow costume.
Yeah. Oh,
on top
and
he's
called the Wizard.
On top of having the gall to call himself the Wizard. He has a yellow costume. And even for the Golden Age, a really stupid freaking origin where he's in the jungle and he gets hurt and someone does an emergency transfusion of mongoose blood and that makes him fast. And they tried to retcon it later. Well, he was really a mutant and we didn't know. No. But the point is,
mongoose blood.
In this story, a doctor, or at least someone with some combat medicine knowledge, thought, mongoose, that blood is okay to put in a human being. That can't go wrong. What?
Oh my goodness.
Hate him.
Love it.
Hate him.
So no Wizard, but all about Machine Man.
That's great.
All right. Well,
I also hate 3D Man's name, but he's a, because that name makes
what is
no
his
sense.
Actual power? Like
he was three times stronger, faster, and more agile.
The same as Triathlon?
Right, Triathlon is...
Are they both the same person? We are nerding out right now, Jatarvis,
by the Triathlon way. Triathlon was inspired to be the new version of the 3D Man, and eventually he becomes the new 3D Man. But the original 3D Man was supposed to fill in the gap between Golden Age characters and the Fantastic Four appearance. So his stories were set in the 1950s.
Oh my goodness.
And he met some Skrulls.
Hence 3D Man.
That's
how during Secret Invasion he could see who the Skrulls were.
Okay. Right.
Well,
but
now
see,
right?
Okay,
we
gotta go. We
gotta
everyone's
go. A 3D man, is my point.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
not special.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be like being called human.
Amazing.
Yeah. All right. So
this is what I get paid for.
Moving on.
Love it. But do you think any of those characters will ever appear in a Marvel movie?
No.
Which brings us into our first topic.
No. No, I don't think so.
Of the ones I just mentioned, probably not. Blazing Skull, no. They would just go for Ghost Rider again.
The Wizard is rumored to be in Infinity War.
No, he's not.
No,
yes,
he's
he
not.
Is. No, that's not true. But he's going to be in Civil War. He's going to be the Spider-Man.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. But he is the woman in the cave. He's the woman in the cave in the new Age of Ultron.
Unless
trailer.
They bring it back to the idea where for a while we thought he was Quicksilver's dad before they decided it was Magneto. I could see that maybe happening, but I really doubt it. I think they would just say, no, Quicksilver's an Inhuman. Get it done with.
All right, well. Moving on, we are going to have some. It's been a little bit of a light week. We've got, at least in terms of the movies, we will be talking about the Secret War later on in the show.
Yes,
we're going to start off with some Marvel Studios news. Then we're going to move into Fox, where we've got Oscar Isaacs talking about Apocalypse and that and that. And then we're going to move on to some fan questions. And Cook, you're on the YouTube right now.
Yes.
Yeah, so he'll be collecting some questions throughout. And that'll be our show.
Yeah.
So anyway, first of all, moving on, we're going to talk about how the MCU will not influence comics.
You know. They say that now, but a month ago, that was a different tune. So
how was it
the
different?
The phone.
Not mine. Mine's on airplane.
Not the phone. No, there's something buzzing. Yeah. So what I had heard previously was that, and what you saw, like you would see reboots of characters coming out when you have the newer books. So suddenly, like before we had the Infinity Wars officially announced, suddenly they're relaunching Inhumans.
Inhumans.
We saw Inhumans. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot of new push from the new Ant-Man books. So they're saying that the MCU will not directly influence comics, but certainly indirectly influencing their choices.
Actually, that's what we're saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was going to say that it's not the comics influencing it. It's the MCU. The MCU is directly influencing what they're publishing, but it's not influencing the stories.
The stories,
right.
I think that's the big thing.
I think it does, though, inevitably, to a small extent, because the fact is, and it's not a new thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ever since we've been doing adaptations of comics, writers and artists who see ideas that look good will copy them. The Batcave... was in the movie serials of Batman that did not exist beforehand in the comics.
Really?
Yeah, it was just suddenly in this movie serial, Batman had this lair, which had a really nice desk in it for some reason. And likewise, Alfred. Alfred was originally this overweight, clean-shaven man.
Or something like that, yeah.
Well, no, he was in the comics, he was a clean-shaven, overweight man. The dude who plays him in the movie serial is a very thin man with a mustache. Suddenly, Alfred is thin with a mustache, says he went to a weight loss camp. And here he is.
Well, and even to the to more DC side, but Harley Quinn is a direct influence from the animated series. And we see this in the Marvel universe that they've pushed Sam Wilson, the Falcon, to be the new Captain America after his great debut and appearance in Captain America 2, the film.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it was a direct correlation, but obviously you can't have a giant company like Marvel Comics with all these parts not speaking together and trying to find ways to bring in fans of the films, you guys out there who watch the movies more than read the comics, probably would be more apt to want to go and read the comics comic thinking, oh, I really liked the Falcon. Let me go see what he's doing. Yeah. Oh, he's Captain America. I want to see how this came about. You know, and I think in what we'll talk about later with the whole Secret Wars and Battle War world news that came out this week for the Marvel comic verse is that they are changing
their
comic verse to make it more accessible for the newer
readers.
They have
to.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
And
I don't blame them for that. And that just makes sense. I mean, the X-Men movies came out and were highly successful, so suddenly Cerebro gets an overhaul in the comics and now looks a lot like the movie Cerebro. And it didn't...
Yeah. And, like, and Grant Morrison has the artist, like, draw them in, like, black leather and everything because it looks cooler. Like,
right.
Totally
right.
Get that.
And,
yeah.
And it went with his story, which was which is the great way to integrate that, not to just say, well, it's in the movie, therefore we should copy it, but to have it naturally work with the story you're doing already and to sort of find a halfway point between what the comics already had and what the movie's showing.
Yeah.
Yeah, though I do feel in the comic, in X-Men, they've long wanted Patrick Stewart to play Professor X, and I feel like they've actually been drawing him like Professor X for a longest time. So
it's the same as like Nick Fury in the Ultimates.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was it's interesting that they're saying, like, I forget who came out and actually said
I can't remember
this.
The guy's name. It's their head of publishing.
Oh, it was a Brevoort?
No.
Okay.
No.
Axel?
No. It was another guy.
Was it
like,
Tommy?
It was not Tommy. No.
Ben?
I believe it was Thanos.
Was it me?
Yeah.
It was Alan Sisler.
It was me, wasn't it?
Well, okay.
But it was me.
So the direct quote actually just kind of backs up what we say. They will creatively bleed into
Dan
each
Buckley.
Other.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
thank
head
you.
Of publishing, right?
People are going to steal good ideas from each other. It's always going to happen. But they're not going to act, breathe, and operate in the comics universe in the same continuity as they would in the film, which makes perfect sense. Because I know, especially as a comic reader, we can get a little protective.
Yeah,
of course.
Over our comic
but
verse.
Even like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like comic book. Like, they have the same characters, but the stories that they're doing, like, are not going to directly...
Yeah, Coulson isn't
they're
the
They're completely
same character.
Different things, you
there's
know?
Our,
so.
There's our Marvel Harley Quinn. Is Coulson didn't exist in the comics until the films, so...
And there was something I never could have predicted, because when he showed up in Iron Man, he's
like,
a fun character.
He's a fun character,
but
sure.
I thought, sure, he's a one-off. I did not expect him to see him... I did not expect to see him in Iron Man 2,
but
much less...
It was delightful.
But it was great. It's been wonderful how they've developed him.
Yeah, I would love to have Clark Gregg on the show, I think. I've heard he's a wonderful man.
I've heard the complete opposite.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you dare.
Really? No, I saw him at a coffee bean, and he spit at me.
Whoa!
Just because?
No, he didn't do any of those things.
Oh my god! Now we'll never have Clark Gregg on.
They will. He'll come on and defend himself.
I hope so.
Yeah, good ploy.
Anyway, no matter how it goes with what influences what, I think all of it, the movies especially, are going to lead to more people reading more comics, and I think that's really exciting.
Yeah,
I think
that's great.
The more people that read comics, the more comics we're going to get.
Yeah.
And I think inevitably it's going to cross streams.
Well, hold on to all of that for Secret Wars, because that's what we're going to start talking about when we get to that. So
Next up,
Savage Hulk and Age of Ultron.
So there, so when we saw the new trailer from Age of Ultron, there were a couple people tweeting at us that were especially,
how
especially
dare
Juan.
Them tweet at us.
I know. Well, simply Juan, you know, made a point. He was like, hey, is that Grey Hulk?
By the way, I hate to interrupt, but can I say that I love simply Juan because he sent me into Shambhala?
He's awesome.
He's a good guy. Grey Hulk, sorry.
Yeah, so he pointed that out. And I told him today, I was like, I think you were onto something. So this came out from a solicitation for the toys that are coming out at Hot Topic. Savage Hulk is what they're calling him. Gray, he's gray with the red eyes, so it looks like we might see some variation of that Hulk in the new Age of Ultron movie.
I think we're going to see an angry Hulk. I don't think he's going to be gray.
I don't know. I think it makes sense.
I don't understand why he would. Why would he turn gray? Like, what's the And plus, if you'll notice, Vision is also gray. He's not green.
Yeah, that's
maybe,
a different color
maybe
scheme.
Maybe Funko just ran out of green.
Seen.
They could be doing an alternate version. They could be doing like an alt one, like an exclusive for Hot Topic.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
it's
that's
an exclusive.
But that being said, I don't know. I mean,
but. I think that you are certainly onto something with the red eyes, though, because he does have red eyes. I do think that there's something that will play into that. So,
I mean, if they had already established in the Hulk movies that there are different Hulk personas, and that along with the Savage Green Hulk, there's also the intelligent but still a jerk Gray Hulk, sometimes called Joe Fixit, then I could
keep bringing him up.
He's awesome.
Joe Fixit's amazing.
Uh-oh.
Yes, Jatarvis.
Yes.
I forgot to warn you. When Jatarvis has a question, our engineer, he plays that song.
All right.
Isn't that the best? Yes, Jatarvis.
Just a quick question. I'm not a huge Hulk, you know, enthusiast.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. What are all... I know there's like Red Hulk, Gray Hulk.
Yeah.
How many colors are there and what do they mean?
You can taste the rainbow.
There's a whole rainbow of Hulks.
Yeah. It's a beautiful story. It's a tale as old as time. I don't know if you followed. But
this one, Sizzler Kissler.
Okay, the Red Hulk is a totally separate character. He is actually, that's a separate human being who becomes the Hulk.
Oh, it's not the same guy.
It's not the same
General
guy.
Thunderbolt.
The Red Hulk is if you saw the movie with Edward Norton, William Hurt plays him, and General Thunderbolt Ross, and he later experimented on himself basically to become an anti-Hulk, and he's colored red. The other shades do belong to the Bruce Banner Hulk. And basically, it started off with just a coloring problem because the original idea was that the Hulk would be Bruce Banner's dark side, and so he became this brutish but not unintelligent hulking being, and he was gray, and he turned at sundown, and then he would turn back to Bruce Banner at sunrise. And the problem there initially, though, was during the 60s, it was really hard to color anything gray consistently, because one page it would look light gray, one page it would look gray, one page it would look almost black, whereas green is a very easy color for them to handle at the time. So they just had him start going green, and then after he started appearing in Avengers is when they started coming up with when he gets angry and excited, that's when he becomes the Hulk. And it was after another burst, he got hit with another nuclear weapon, and after that, the Green Hulk, whenever he showed up, was savage and childlike. And over the years, occasionally the Gray Hulk has come out or the Green Hulk has come out, and they basically explained that as Bruce Banner already had what we sometimes call multiple personality, but it's actually dissociative identity disorder due to childhood trauma. DID, like we've seen in many shows like United States of Terra. Mm-hmm. You had a trauma, and you basically splinter your personality into different aspects that can deal with certain situations.
Also seen in Moon Knight.
Also seen a little bit in Moon Knight, though less scientifically accurate. And
it's an angry Egyptian god. That's pretty scientifically accurate. Okay.
But yeah, so the Green Hulk is usually supposed to represent Bruce Banner as a kid who's just suffered this trauma, and that's why he's savage and wants to be left alone. And Gray Hulk is sort of teenage Bruce Banner with all those impulses he never allowed himself to indulge in.
Interesting.
And Joe Fixit Hulk wears a pinstripe suit.
Right. When the Gray Hulk took over for a while, he got a job in Vegas as a strongman.
Yeah.
And was Joe Fixit.
And because he would say, "I'm Mr. Fixit. You're in need of repairs."
Yeah.
Wait, is that... Are we?
No, that's a line. Oh my gosh, that's a line from the comics.
So there are, Jatarvis, to answer it, there's a lot of different Hulk personalities within Bruce Banner himself.
Right.
And then there are a bunch of different individuals classified as Hulks and all sorts of different people across the board.
Does that help you out, Jatarvis?
Yeah, I honestly didn't know. I thought the Red Hulk was just another form of Hulk.
No, and he's,
like a
he's very strong, but he also generates heat. Which is interesting. Yeah. The angrier he gets, the hotter he gets.
And he's a strategic genius and a hardened soldier, so he's actually in some ways a little superior to Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the whole thing with Hulk is that he's, even when he's a jerk, he's a hero.
Yeah.
And the green savage Hulk, although he destroys a lot of stuff, doesn't kill people.
Which is what I found interesting about the new Avengers trailer, when he throws that truck at those cops. Yep. That's the savage Hulk comes in.
Right. Did you have something?
I just had an epiphany. So I was watching the new, about something not Marvel related, but I was watching Venture Brothers, the season 6.
It's one of the greatest shows of all time.
Well, it is, but we were watching the new season 6, movie special, mm-hmm. and one of the characters kind of did because, almost all of them are almost based on either classic cartoons or Marvel comics,
uh-huh. mm-hmm.
and they had one of the guys kind of transform into a Red Hulk, and he's a military guy, and I was like, oh, it is him. It's supposed to be, it's that direct correlation to...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen that. I didn't even know it was out.
Oh, it just came out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
Well, so we're moving on from Hulk now, but I do think there is something to the red eyes.
I think so.
Yeah. Like, the gray, and it I might can do without, just, but I the red eyes, I think it, there's something going
it's
on.
It's either Scarlet Witch controlling or something a bit more.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. If they had already established that he has different personas, there would be an easy setup of...
He's turning into this persona.
Right. Well, in some situations where the Green Hulk was vulnerable to something, the Gray Hulk would then step in to deal with it.
Yeah.
Who was less strong, but his mind is more together.
Yeah.
Also, why is there no Black Widow?
Because it wouldn't sell.
I'm constantly asking that question.
No, I'm kidding. But, I mean, I think with these figures especially, there's always variant editions everything. So who knows if this is film-related or comic-related and all that. But
that is a good question. There should be a Black Widow.
Yeah,
that's
weird.
I hate
weird.
To be that person.
No, you're
really,
right.
No, it's a good question.
It's a good question. Hey, Funko. Hey, Funko, what's going on?
Because it's not like Ultron in that is that detailed
and
it's personal.
Really. And we get Hawkeye, and Hawkeye really does take a back seat and... in Age of Ultron. Like, I just feel he's not going to. My mental powers tell me that it's going to be a lot of Black Widow. So
I think one of my favorite toys is Iron Man as a fireman. He's like shooting
water out of his hands. See that? Like, he's just trying to. Oh, maybe they'll put out Black Widow when they do like the twins.
Yeah,
maybe
we'll
get a second series.
Yeah, all right. So moving on, Anthony Mackie hopes to appear in Age of Ultron.
As do I.
As
all of us do. I want to be in it as Doctor Strange.
You can be a cosplayer in a party scene.
Oh, I would totally do that. So, what was this? He was doing an interview.
Yeah, he was doing an interview, you know, and he was just kind of, people were kind of asking, like, hey, so what do you know about Age of Ultron? He's like, I'd love to appear, but I haven't gotten a call. He even has told his agent, saying, I'm available. Hey, guys, I'm available. I know you're doing reshoots. Give me a holler. But he did come out and say that, he hasn't shot anything for Age of Ultron yet, it looks like he'll find himself in Cap 3 Civil War, which I think we kind of
confirmed.
Knew.
We all kind of know, but he's kind of confirmed it.
Also, we're going to see more Black Widow in Civil War.
Yeah.
The Russo brothers were on a press tour in China, and they came out and gave fans, like, you know, fans have been asking, fan 1-0, we want more Black Widow. You know, we're not getting a solo film, that's fine. Are we going to see more of her? Definitely so. They say that they've been prepping for Captain America Civil War and since the last one debuted, and it's going to star Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson, and
Winter Soldier will be back.
So that gives me a lot of faith that we're going to get some Bucky, Natasha, OTP, my one true pairing.
OTP.
One true pairing. In the books, the Winter Soldier and Black Widow have this amazing love story. Mm-hmm. It's very dark and convoluted, and it comes from a place where they both, you know, have these really terrible pasts, and they find each other, and they find like all this really like pure.
Their ledgers
love.
Are both red.
Yeah, but they find a really pure love between the two of them, and I really think both those characters, Sebastian Stan and ScarJo, have such great presence. I'd love to see them interact that on screen.
Yeah, I agree. And the fact that they're saying that, like, she was all over Winter Soldier, so maybe we get to see even more of her. She was great. I'm excited.
Yeah, she was all over Winter Soldier.
Oh, come on. Aww. Come on.
Hey, hey, hey.
This is a family show, Meredith.
Come on. Have you read any of, like...
I've read some.
Okay,
I haven't read all of it. I can't read everything, Meredith.
I know. I wish I could get
Not with that attitude.
Yeah. You could.
I'm not Alan Sizzler Kistler. I haven't read it all.
Excuse me. Who read all of Uncanny X-Men from 1 until 434 in 3 months?
I did.
Well, good for you.
Thank you.
You can do it, too.
I can do anything.
But no, there's some really great Winter Soldier, Black Widow trade storylines out there, especially not the current Winter Soldier book.
That's a little weird because he's the Watcher on the Wall.
Yeah, he's the Watcher on the Wall. He's like John Snow up in space.
Cosmic John Snow.
Yeah, he's Cosmic John Snow.
Now, issue one was cool. Issue two was a little weird. I didn't pick up issue
three. But the stuff from about 2.5 years ago was some really, really solid, and I'm blanking on who wrote that. If it was it Brubaker?
It was probably Brubaker.
It would make sense.
Yeah, his Winter Soldier run from the last couple of years is really great. And I really, if you guys want to get some good backstory on Bucky and Natasha, go pick those up.
All right.
Sorry.
No. It's okay. We're here to geek out. It's okay. Yay. It's okay. All right. So moving on to Fox. Oh, wait, do we have anything else we want to say about Marvel Studios before we duck out? Is there any breaking news or anything like that?
They're doing good work.
They do good work, sir. Yeah. They certainly do. All right. Moving on to Fox. Oscar Isaacs talks Apocalypse this week, which I'm very excited about this. I'm so excited about what?
At least someone from a Fox movie is talking about things.
It's about time we got something out of there. He talked about the costume. His first quote, we've got two quotes from him. Costume hasn't been figured out yet, but one of his major powers is being able to change all the molecules in his body, so I'll be changing all the molecules in my body. It's going to be a lot of fun. That was his quote.
He better not have that A on his belt. That's the one element that has never worked. Well, I just love the idea that Apocalypse is so badass, yet self-conscious enough to think, what if people don't recognize me?
What if people don't know that my nickname is Apocalypse?
I'd better put a giant A on this obscene belt.
Confuse him for the Avengers. Come on.
Yeah. I am an Avenger.
It is weird that is the strangest choice.
It is.
I sort of accept the cables that have no purpose.
Yeah.
The giant
That's
collar.
That's celestial technology.
Yeah, sure it is. Yeah. They still use wires,
but the
celestial.
The cables are left over from the Liefeld era, let's be honest.
Right,
like,
no.
You know, at least
but they didn't keep any of the pockets.
Feet.
No, I get it. It's just the A is the one part that I'm like, no.
The A's always thrown me off.
I hope they do it.
Actually, guys, Marvel would,
but Fox would not. What's the A?
The A, because survival of the fittest, and he goes around trying to, like, Royal Rumble his way to the top. It's his champion belt.
So he's the alpha.
Yeah, he's the alpha. It's Apocalypse.
Then it should be a Greek A, not an English A.
It might also be like a perspective of him building the pyramids as a kid, and like the big hole in the A is like a big chunk going down. It's like deep in the distance. What? It's like,
do you think it's upside down and he doesn't realize it looks like an A?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a mouth.
Right.
Or like a manger, because he's like the savior.
Let's ask him.
Apocalypse.
Hey, in Sabanur. So he's gonna. That's his power in the comics. I was wondering what they were gonna do with him. And everything, and the fact that he was like manipulating the pyramids or whatever.
I don't understand.
Like, I still don't get it.
How are they gonna do anything? That was him as a child.
Yeah.
How are they gonna do anything?
And now he's like this 2,000-year-old.
But this is the problem with Magneto in every X-Men movie, because he's able to lift up a freaking football stadium and create a prison and reprogram robots kind of by will. And then they're able to get a sucker punch on him.
Yeah.
Or beat him with a plastic gun or something. It's like, but what if he just dropped the stadium on you?
Yeah.
Like, the Marvel universe is already inconsistent with powers here and there, much less the movies. Like, Magneto should not ever lose with the power level we see him use.
So if you're going to believe in the power, you got to believe in the inability to use the power.
Yeah, exactly. Well, or that they hesitate at the right moment.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, what the comics get right is that all these people have their flaws, and some of them, and that's what happens is with Magneto, and ultimately I feel with Apocalypse, he's just going to get too caught up in his singular vision.
Well, also, what the comics still do most of the time very well, and what I think the movies actually need to start stepping up to, all the movies, is that in the comics, because the villain or villains are usually more powerful, they have to come up with really creative solutions involving their own abilities or their teamwork. It's not just, we were punching and then we were done. And that's too often in the X-Men stuff, as much as I like those movies, a lot of the battles just end with, and then we fought a bunch until we were done.
Yeah.
There were so many of us, we just beat him down.
Yeah. Like, Avengers, at least, was having a kind of a plan at the end. Okay, Iron Man needs to take care of this. Hulk and Thor do this. Black Widow does that thing.
And that was a great display of Captain America's, strategic prowess.
Yeah, so we need more of that. You know, you can make Apocalypse super powerful, but then show me a really creative solution around that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I
agree.
Maybe we'll see that. I don't know. I mean, I was really impressed with how they handled Days of Future Past. I was really worried and really pleased with it. And I feel like it didn't just turn into, like, let's go punch people.
Right. There was a lot of punching.
There was a lot of punching.
All of the future X-Men, that's all they did.
That's why they failed.
Colossus didn't speak. I love Colossus.
Well, because
that's his favorite.
No one would understand his accent. That's the
thing. He doesn't have an accent.
Oh, that's right. In two, he doesn't. I can help you. That was the biggest tease to me. That angered me in X2.
Yeah.
It's like, help them. Okay. Like, no, Colossus, don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not your leader.
Or at least give me, like, Bryan Singer, do something other than have him carry a child unarmored.
Yeah.
Like, the biggest guy in the group picked up the smallest person to carry.
He's been back for 3 days. Why are you taking orders from Wolverine?
It's like watching, like, the biggest man in the group just, like, make tea. Just this is exciting. Delicious.
Can somebody cut those lemons for me, please?
Beast, pass the butter.
But, no, I am excited to see that power and to see how they use it. You know, like, is his arm changing? Is he just changing his density? Like, how far are they going to take that?
I think how are they going to justify it? It's exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
they're going for it. That's a big
They're
power.
Going for it. For Fox, that's like,
I think that's kind of a big deal.
I think that's kind of, it feels like they're finally starting to listen to Marvel a little bit and be like, this is insane.
Uh-oh. Oh, dear God.
Oh, no. What is it? What do we got, Jatarvis?
I just had a question for you guys.
Oh, my goodness. Really? A question? Really?
I was watching last night because someone told us last week that the X-Men cartoons are back on Hulu.
They are.
I've been watching them.
Are they?
Yeah, they're on Hulu.
Yeah.
Hulu Plus. All the seasons, yeah.
So I was watching one of the Days of Futures Past, the sequel, and it was heavily on cable.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, because time travel's already been kind of thrown in there with Days of Futures Past, that maybe Cable could appear in this movie?
Cable,
no.
Yes, I believe firmly.
I would love that.
Tell me why Cable won't appear.
I don't see a need for him in this story. I mean, maybe you could hint at him because of the whole relationship with Apocalypse. Like,
that would be...
I get that. I would be really surprised if after a whole movie of time travel, they went back to using a time traveler.
I agree with that, but I don't know how else they would have any information on this monster. So I see it as this dude shows up, Cable shows up. And
all right,
like,
oh, he could be like a window.
I see,
sure.
I see. That's a way to do it.
And he steers them towards Dr. Strange.
Oh, no.
It's okay. He's wearing his cloak of levitation.
He is needed elsewhere. But that's how I would like to
thank
see
you, Jatarvis.
Come
okay,
in
see
from
that's
the future and be like things have gone terribly.
Jatarvis, everybody.
That's, yeah. That's an interesting. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yay! Oh.
That's an interesting. Interesting solution for that.
Because
I mean,
he's such a beast. I don't know how else you would
well,
explain
I just figured because in the comics he's got, you know, the cult of Apocalypse and there's Ozymandias who records all his stuff. Mm-hmm. I just figured you would just meet some of those cult members or someone who has kept, you know, a journal.
I don't think they're going to do the original, his live journal. They're going to find like the digital live journal of Apocalypse.
Sure, sure.
Woke up today, considered the death of millions. Had tea.
I'm so mad at Jean Grey. She won't respond to my emails.
Like, click like, subscribe.
Why is Sinister news? So obsessed with Cyclops? What's his deal, bro?
I wish he'd let Madeline Pryor go.
See, well, that's the thing. I think they're going to do more Executioner's song-esque Apocalypse stuff versus Age of Apocalypse. I don't.
Right.
As much as Age of Apocalypse would make sense because it's a more condensed story, I think they're going to go slightly further and do more of that era because I think
that makes sense.
It's more in line with what they're doing already.
And I do think it's a really smart thought that, like, he would be the window into that world, like the sort of, like, expository character.
Right, which I like the idea.
And Cable makes more sense than Nate Gray.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I think it's just a visually cooler looking character, Cable.
Yeah. And they've been talking about doing an X-Force spin-off.
Yes.
And now that they're bringing Deadpool in and everything else.
If you did that, well, that would be way cool.
That would be really cool.
Cable's also just, it's a character that I get very, and it's funny because I'm not as huge a fan of him as I am like Spider-Man, but I do get very protective of how he's used because he can be such an amazing character and half the time he's used so poorly or they don't know what the hell they're doing.
They use him really well in like the whole like Hope Summers and Second Coming and that whole thing. By the way, listeners, if you've never read an X-Men comic book and you want to get into like a really good comic, I don't know if that's the best jumping on point, but Messiah Complex and Second Coming are both
the great thing about Second Coming and Messiah Complex, the only thing you need to know going into it is that at this point there are only 162 mutants.
Something like that. 168.
Yeah.
198.
Like, yeah, it's 198. Yeah.
198.
Right.
There's only 198 mutants left in the world. And Scarlet Witch has like kind of deactivated a lot of mutants' powers. And so
with her reality altering powers.
With her reality altering powers. And suddenly there is a new Cerebro picks up on the first mutant activity being born.
Like a few years after this whole thing happened.
So it's oh, that's all you need to know going into it. It's just those basic facts.
And then it becomes a race.
If you're going to read an X-Men book, you read Astonishing X-Men by Joss Whedon.
Yeah,
which is great. Which is great.
First off. And then, like, halfway through that, read House of M.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that sets you up for anywhere else you want to go. From
2000 on.
I'm a big fan of the Grant Morrison era as well, right before Joss Whedon. I usually, when people are really, like, have no real knowledge of X-Men, there's the miniseries that was by Joe Kelly, Children of the Atom, which was sort of the prequel to issue one of how the original team formed. I think that's a really great book just to, like, get a feel of some of the differences.
A solid primer, would you say?
Yeah, but just to get the differences between comic version and movie version, and then after that, I think you're better prepared to jump into any of the future storylines.
But you're right. The Grant Morrison Astonishing X-Men, really, for people like that, it was actually, I had actually been out of comics for about 8 years.
Oh yeah, I'd given up on X-Men, then Grant jumped in,
and then someone said, and because Astonishing had already been going on for a couple of years, and I was like, wow, I miss comics, I want to get back, and they gifted me the first couple of trades. It was like an 07 or 08 or something, and I was like, oh wow, I forgot how awesome X-Men were, and I just got back into it through that. So I can't extol those books enough.
I think Astonishing is a really good suggestion. Start with that. But also, Second Coming, House of M.
Yeah, they're all great. I mean, there was a
like,
good
oh
window
my gosh.
Of,
yeah.
of from Morrison on.
Yeah,
there was a
like
good
2000s
couple years
to like mid,
of X-Men stuff.
And just in general, the graphic novel God Loves, Man Kills.
Oh, that one.
Yes,
that is my hands
that's
down.
That's Claremont.
Yep.
That's an older one, everybody.
I was going to say quickly with Fox. If Fox is smart but unoriginal, they'll make Apocalypse Thanos. and they can have the first run-in with Apocalypse in this upcoming movie.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then later on down the line have something with Age of Apocalypse or anything like that. Yeah. And then bringing Cable and all that. Like,
I
they
see.
Can make him the ever-present bad guy.
Yeah.
Like they did with Thanos. Waiting. That's really smart.
Which
that's
is, yeah, that works in a lot of ways. Because through Apocalypse, you can have many other villains that are very different.
Yeah, I mean,
you
can
connect them to him, like Sinister and stuff
and
like that.
And he's a manipulator and a schemer, and he can be setting things in motion.
Yeah.
And,
well, moving on, he also had Oscar Isaac also had another quote where he doesn't have the full script yet or whatever else, but they are working on the suit, and he says he thinks it'll be a mixture of physical aided with some robotic technology.
Okay.
Robotic.
Mm. Robotic. I don't know if that means we're going to have the tubes. I don't know if he's talking about like...
It means we're going to have Ninja Turtles.
You know, so anyway, I think that's also very interesting. And also, in other Apocalypse news... what's that kid's name? The kid that's in Secret Service. Taron Egerton, is that his name? It confirmed that he will not be playing Cyclops. So the other two guys are still in the running, but he will not
that's
be playing
a shame.
Cyclops.
I really like his look.
I really like him. I thought he would be great. I'm excited to see him in the Secret Service, but he's not going to be Cyclops.
Poop.
So, I know.
But
poop
speaking
on this.
Of Kingsman.
Yeah? You want to take that, Cook? Take
Fantastic
the ball and run.
Fantastic Four trailer release is rumored to be attached to... Kingsman,
Is it rumored?
February 13th.
I thought it was confirmed.
Reportedly attached.
Yeah.
Still reportedly. Since we haven't seen an image from the movie.
Except for ones that were snuck.
Yeah, we've seen a couple
exactly,
Doom bots.
Except for some bad, like, poorly framed, fuzzy pictures. It's just still reportedly, I think.
Yeah.
I'd be anxious to see it.
I'm excited to go see Secret Service. I think it looks really good. I don't know. I haven't read any reviews on it or if there's any reviews out there, but the trailers for it look like it's a lot of fun.
It looks like it's a fun movie.
Guys,
Fantastic
once again.
Four trailer.
Yeah, it's like, once again, we start talking about Fantastic Four and talk about everything but Fantastic Four.
Because there's nothing to say about Fantastic Four.
So, heads up, February 13th, a movie comes out, which Fantastic Four trailer might be attached to. And if it is, I'm sure it'll be on the internet. Right after.
Yeah. Well.
More non-Fantastic Four news.
Let's move on.
Let's move
to
on.
To comics and talk about Secret Wars.
Yeah. Who wants to go?
You want to take it?
I'm just going to start, like, you know, it's really exciting. Marvel had their big announcement at Meltdown.
Midtown
Comics.
Okay, so they're saying Kinberg confirmed that the trailer is going to be with it.
Okay,
I've seen that, yeah.
Thank you, team.
So, Midtown Comics Marvel-likes. In New York City on Tuesday. Just go with it. They had their big announcement about the big comic book news, which is going to be the summer Secret Wars, but they released a map of Battle World. I can't say it. Guys, I'm just really excited for the upcoming app game that's going to be Battle Word, which is Scrabble.
Battle World.
I can't talk. And I am so... Okay. At first, I was like, I don't know. Is this really necessary? Do we really... Okay, no, I'm really excited because looking at this map and seeing the different regions...
Let's say just quick for the people that don't know what it is... What is the story behind it is. Before we start dissecting the map, let's give a general...
So when a mommy universe and a daddy universe get together, we call this the Big Bang.
So what's going on is in the comics, we've got the Ultimate Universe, which is Universe 1610, and we've got the Mainline Universe, which is 616, and over on Avengers, which is being written by Jonathan Hickman, and the New Avengers, which is also written by Jonathan Hickman, the universes are starting to collide, and whenever the touch point is Earth, whenever a universe collides, and either our Earth is destroyed, or both Earths are destroyed, or the other Earth is, like, those are the three choices. And the only way to destroy the other Earth is if the people on this Earth destroy it before they touch. So, more or less, the Avengers have become, like, they've had to become genocidal maniacs.
Well, the New Avengers. The Illuminati. A particular group of Avengers that Captain America does not approve of
has
taken it upon themselves to destroy invading universes or combat that threat by any means necessary.
Yes. So, they destroyed an entire universe that was very DC Justice League based, and that was a very fun comic. And then, they were like, wait, what in the hell have we done? We're monsters.
Yeah.
So then they go out and get Thanos and, his cabal, and they start sending them to destroy other universes, which they're successful at, to save their own souls, more or less. They're like, hey, you guys are already monsters, so you guys go take care of all these other universes.
Still doesn't work.
But what's going to happen is at the end of the Avengers run, the Ultimate Universe is finally going to come up against the Mainline Universe, and they're going to collide, and that the, that's where Secret Wars starts off, and then it goes from there. So,
yeah, and it's going to be exciting because they're bringing back a lot of older storylines that are really just acclaimed storylines. Yeah. We're going to see return of stuff from Civil War. We're going to see some Age of Apocalypse coming back. It's really great, and they released Marvel released this map that's kind of like Battle World, which is not at all looks like our current planet, but all the different regions are going to be lorded over by the different universes, and we have Greenland, which is the top area, which is all the Hulks. So we have all the different Hulks and things. I'm really super excited. We have Domain of Apocalypse, and then there's
we've got Spider-Land. We've got
which
Kunlun,
I'm hoping is like Spider Island, and then where's
New Quack City? Is that what you're
New
talking
Quack
about?
City.
Gonna have some Howard the Duck action in there. Yeah, so we're gonna have like lots of crazy stuff, and what's gonna happen is that all these realities are gonna combine and form one like sort of meta reality where all the realities are at war with each other. And I'm excited about it. Yeah. And I like, everyone is like, there's a lot of fan backlash about it saying like, this is a reboot. So what?
Yeah.
Like, comics reboot all the time. They're afraid it's going to be the new 52. I don't think it's going to be the new 52.
It's not going to be the new 52.
I think there's way more, like, offense to DC. I think there's a little bit more talent behind this, and they've been working on this for a very long time, setting this up. And they have a lot of new fans, and a lot of new fans don't know where to start. And this is awesome because this gets us more people reading comics.
The preparation is a huge thing because a lot of people were not prepared, and by people I mean people writing and drawing comics.
Yeah,
we're not prepared for New 52.
Yeah,
and there were no set agreed upon plans for many characters when New 52 started. So you had certain people who were trying to write modern day stories of one character, whereas someone was writing the flashback stories of that character and wasn't aware of, well, what is he going to establish? Because I don't know. And it led to a lot of that kind of stuff. There was also in New 52, I think, an overwhelming desire to sort of take out, again, this idea of silliness for a lot of characters. Whereas Marvel, for a long time, really embraces that. And we see that in the Marvel Studios films as well.
Yeah.
There's also, if you're going to like sort of revitalize an old storyline, this is how you freaking do it. The original Battle World was a planet put together from other planets. This is a planet put together from other realities. Like, yes, this is
that's amazing.
This is what new eras of comics should do. You look at the old stuff and you say, let's crank up the volume. Let's make this as weird for people today as that original story was weird back then.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, Marvel could use a reboot. They've been rebooting constantly many of their characters on a case-by-case basis. And it's worked to a degree, but there's just so much clutter in the continuity. The cartoons and the movies have shown us how you can streamline the past and present a new version that stays with the core, but still streamlines it for new audiences.
And with Disney doing this, like, of course they want it streamlined.
Yeah, so let's take advantage of that. Yeah. Let's absolutely take advantage of that.
So, sorry, we've got to move on.
No,
what
I was just going to say, and for those of you who are worried, you know, like anything, it'll probably run 3 months, and then everything will shake out and go back to
normal. It'll shake out, and it'll be awesome.
So, but you can get the first issue, goes on sale in May 2015.
Yeah. So we've got to wrap it up. We do have a question. We've got the Wizard World question of the week.
I have one question. I really have time for one question from the
fans. Okay, from the fans. Okay.
If Marvel Studios makes a new Ghost Rider movie, which actor would you choose to play Ghost Rider?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God. We have to come back to that next week.
Nicolas
I can't
Cage.
Think of that. Oh.
Think about it.
I'm going to think about
just kidding.
That.
Just kidding.
Because I want new Ghost Rider.
I would love to have a new Ghost Rider. Especially with like Defenders and stuff coming out on Netflix. That would be amazing.
And then we're going to put it up on our Facebook page, so check it out. I was thinking of what a weird team the Defenders is.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know what your Defenders, who your Defenders would be. Put together a team of four heroes from the Marvel Universe.
That don't seem to belong together.
That don't seem to belong together, yeah. Pick any four, put them together, make a solid team, and
We'll vote on it next week.
Yeah,
we'll vote on it and see who would win. We'll do like a bracket.
Yeah. And prepare. Yeah, we'll do a bracket. That'll be fun. And prepare. February 5th, we're going to have Wizard World prize to give out. That's going to be our question of the week, and we will we'll do that. So that's in a couple weeks. Every single month, we're going to start with the Wizard World question of the week. So anyway, Alan, thank you for being on the show. That's our show.
So
thank you for having me.
You are an intelligent man, and we loved your insight. That's our show. Thanks for joining us. Special thanks to our prize sponsored Wizard World Conventions. They're in Portland this weekend, and then followed by Madison, Wisconsin, February 6th through 8th, and then it's on to Indianapolis the weekend after that. Please, 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 please do not forget to subscribe to our show, Marvel Movie News, on iTunes or on YouTube. through the Popcorn Talk Network. You can also find us on their website, popcorntalknetwork.com. My name is Matt Key, at The Matt Key.
I'm Meredith Placco, at M. Placco.
I'm Alan Kistler, at Sizzler Kistler.
Matt Cook, at Matt Cook Tweeted.
That is our show. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week, folks.
Thanks, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.